to The Watchman's Cry, where my dad talks about the end time. So grab your Bible and a pen and paper, and get ready for a good Bible study.
Greetings, brethren. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're listening to The Watchman's Cry. My name is Nathan Liao, and I'm up here on the wall bringing you the news, the reports, the happenings, and the information of what is coming upon the land. And coming to you from the land of confusion, I must report that the horizon has storm clouds gathering, and this is happening while some of the people sleep and others blindly welcome the approach of slave captains who are coming to take hostages. And when they do, the land of confusion will become the land of surrender. And in truth, ladies and gentlemen, the people surrendered a long time ago. Because a long time ago, they surrendered their purity. And they surrendered their standard. They surrendered their future. And fashioned for themselves messiahs out of mortals. And entrusted them with their hearts, their loyalty, and their fate. And folks, the surrender has a cost. And the payment is going to be tallied, but the blind ones can't see it. So instead, they dream of how they want it to be and hope that it will be. But in truth, it will never be, because the lies that they are believing cannot be. But I'll tell you what will be, and I'll tell you the truth. And if you're new to this program, for the record, I believe in Jesus Christ, the blood of the Son of God. Jesus is the only way for any human to be rescued. He's the only way that you're going to be helped. He's the only way that you're going to find an answer. He's the only place that you're going to find true peace, because he's faithful and he's compassionate. And my friend, he wants you to know that he loves you. But he also wants his people knowing this. He wants his people knowing what time it is. He wants all of us to be aware of the signs of the times, the events that are taking place around us. And he doesn't want any of you to be led astray. And many of you know this. You know because God has shown you. You know because the Holy Spirit has revealed it to you. Many of you already know deep down in your heart, you know what's coming because you're awake and God has shown you. He has revealed to many of you. You know that this world's in a mess. You know that America is in a mess. And ladies and gentlemen, many of you also know this. You know that the mess is not going to be settled or remedied, no matter who wins the election. It doesn't matter. And if you do know this, that's why your hand is to the plow. That's why you're concerned for your family. That's why you're concerned for your loved ones. That's why, in spite of what other people are saying, you're hearing something else from the voice of the Spirit. And if you want to know a few more details of how it's going to play out, listen to this program. Now, over the past few weeks, I have been burdened with these things that are taking place right now before our eyes. And I have been seeking God and I've been asking him how to talk about it. I know that there's some folks that would say, no way, Nathan. Everything's great. Stop being negative. We're going to be rescued. Don't you know? I know that that desire is out there to see a great remedy. I know it's out there, folks. I know that that hope is out there. I have that as well. In my heart, I want to see a rescue for this country. Unfortunately, the information that I see on the horizon does not match up with the desire for greatness and rescue. So I have to share a few things on this program, folks. So please, please pray about what you hear. And you let God bear witness with you. Because there is a great conflict taking place in the people of God right now. Within many of those who are well-meaning, who love God, there's a conflict taking place. And I have to address this conflict. Because when I find myself up in the wall, I notice, I'm observing that as I look to my side, to my left, and to my right, I see other watchmen in the distance doing something. And it is greatly disturbing what I'm watching them do. Because I am watching them take leaflets from their hands and throw them down from the wall onto the people. And these leaflets contain information that was not acquired by looking at the horizon. This is what is astonishing, folks. They are taking leaflets that were not acquired by the Spirit of God or the voice of God, but they were birthed in their imagination. And this development is astonishing, and it's disappointing, and it's frustrating, because I'm up on the wall seeking the Lord, trying my best to listen to the heart of the Spirit, to the voice of the Spirit, trying my best to position myself under the shelter of His wings. And as I do, and I look to the horizon and I use the spiritual lenses that He gives and provides, I can see glimpses of the approaching storm. But at the same time, the watchmen next to me are writing down that a party is coming. And they're blowing up balloons and sounding off party favors. So as I see these things happening, ladies and gentlemen, should I say anything? Am I supposed to say anything? The laws of man say no, Nathan. You need to keep it to yourself. You need to keep your thoughts to yourself, because if you stir it up, don't you know you're part of the watchman brotherhood? Don't you know that you are a part of the association of watchmen? And if you do this, you're coming against the loyalty of the watchman covenant to stick together. You know, folks, I had suspicions that the focus of watchmen out there was different. Over the years, I've noticed, I've been making observations that the plumb line is not the same, because the watchmen are supposed to be the standard bearers of God. But even with that, it's not the same. I noticed that I'm on the wall saying one thing, but then the others are appeasing the people with reports that are not true, that are contradictory. So what am I to do? Do I stay silent? Well, some of you know that I can only do that for so long. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what I've been wrestling with over the past few weeks. I've been wrestling very, very hard with this. I have been seeking God. I've been praying. And I've asked Him, I've said, God, I don't understand how others who were allowed to become placed up on the wall are now giving mixture to your people. I don't understand. And I don't understand how I can look in the horizon and see the clouds and the dust clouds of the approaching horsemen and army of the next phases of your judgment. I don't understand how I can look out into the horizon and see them coming, but those who are along the wall aren't seeing it. And they're telling your people things that aren't true. I don't understand it. Folks, I ask you to please continue praying for this ministry. Pray for me, Nathan Liao. Pray for Donna, my wife. I'm just grieved that it took the election to expose this big mess. It took the election, this upcoming election, to really show where the heart of God's people trust in, where the foundation of trust is gathered, where their principal desires really are. You know, folks, for 8 years, 9 years, 10 years, I've been doing this for a while now, and I have been up on this wall crying out, bringing messages that were birthed in the prayer closet, that were birthed in the secret place, that were birthed in special, very special and powerful moments with God. I have brought messages to this audience, and they're on record. You can go and listen to them over the years. And the message has been consistent that seasons were coming to this country and that God's people needed to prepare for them. And over the years, there have been other programs that have invited me on, and they said, Nathan, come share what you have to share. And I would go on those programs and expose my heart and share openly the warnings of the things that were coming. And the hosts of those programs, many of them would say, hear, hear, amen, that's right. I agree. But now, I am watching some of those same people flip-flop and turn and do a complete about-face on the content of what I used to warn about, and they are discounting it, and some of them are ignoring it, and they are now delivering a repackaged version of something that is a stranger and should be a stranger coming out from the voice and the mouth of a supposed watchman. The words that are coming out from their mouths should not be there, because their words are now discounting the judgment They're discounting what time it is. They're bypassing all of these things. They have made themselves political rallying cries for a man, for a mortal, for the promises of a human being that just a few years ago we discounted as a joke. So folks, I'm seeking God on how to present a lot of this information, because you need to hear about the truth of what is going to happen. And that's why I'm up here on the wall, to bring you the truth. So please listen to this message. And again, folks, pray about what you hear. Because if you consider yourself a child of God, a remnant believer of God, a child of Jesus, a follower of Christ, if you consider yourself a born-again, end-time believer, then please listen to the things I have to share. Now, as a quick summary, today we're going to talk about a prophetic warning that I have. I have mentioned it in the past. I did it on a previous News from the Wall program with my wife, Donna. But I'm going to go into it a little further today. And we're going to dissect the actual chain of events that I expect to come to this country. And these chain of events, as they come, are going to strike in periodic cycles, one after the other. There's going to be several. They will pile on top of each other. And as each one takes place, there's going to be an outcome with people, with citizens, with the economy, with the health of this country. I'm going to share some of the things that are coming, folks. So please take notes. I've been seeking God, and I've been asking him. I said, God, you have shown me things that are contradictory to the promise of greatness for America. Why? Why am I getting a different view than them? And the Holy Spirit said, because you're supposed to tell them. You're supposed to show them. So don't hold back. Tell them. So I'm going to tell you, folks. Now, at this point where I am with what God has revealed, I haven't seen every exact detail. I've seen the general details, but not everything, because God has held it back. The Bible says we know in part and prophesy in part. So I don't have the entire picture, but I do have a picture that matters. I do have a glimpse of seasons that you need to know about and that you need to be getting prepared to face and to weather. Where I am right now, I still do not know who's going to win the election. I don't know if it's going to be Hillary or Trump. I don't know. What I'm going to share today is going to be a package of successive events that are going to take place that will reveal how it will look. I'm going to talk about how it will look if Trump wins, because I did see a glimpse of how it will look if he wins. I've asked the Lord, does that mean he will win? If he showed me how it's going to look, if he wins, does that mean he's going to, for sure? And I don't have an answer yet. I don't, folks. And I'm not saying that to try to give myself an excuse. I just don't have an answer yet. If I did have an answer, then I would share it. If it is true, then I'll also say this, folks, we're in trouble. The Church of America is in trouble. The remnant of America needs to prepare for very challenging days. How should you, as a child of God, prepare for it? What do God's people need to be thinking about right now? What do you need to be doing in your priority list? A few weeks ago, I was seeking the Lord, and I was asking him for a word for the people that I could share with all of you. And it took me a few days of seeking him, and then finally he answered, and the Holy Spirit spoke 5 words to me. And those 5 words were the planting of the Lord. And that was it. And of course, we've all heard that biblical term, the planting of the Lord. There's songs about it. And I said, what does that mean, Lord? And he said, look it up. Study it. So I did. I started studying the topic of the planting of the Lord. And there are a lot of places in the Bible that touch the subject of plants, of harvest, of farming, when it comes to God's people. And God will often reference the illustration of agriculture to represent the life of a Christian or the life of his church. And he'll do it to illustrate the condition and the health and the placement, the season, etc., on his people. And agriculture is, for those of you that have gardened, it really says a lot, because in order to garden, there are different things that have to happen to be a plant, to become a plant. So that's going to be the theme. I'm going to touch on the introduction of this in a moment, and I'm very excited because I've been compiling a lot of notes, and I can already tell that it's probably going to take at least 3 to 5 sermons to talk about the planting of the Lord. We're going to go into some in-depth, very incredible sermons and lessons and Bible studies about this topic, and it's going to bless, I'm believing, folks, it's going to bless many of you. If you've been struggling, it's going to bless you. Now, when I had my prophetic dream, this is a few months ago, let me just repeat it real quick, and then I'm going to talk about the parts of it. In this prophetic dream, I was standing on the side of a 4-lane, one-way street in an undisclosed city. And I was on the curb, and I was looking across all 4 lanes at traffic that was stopped, and the traffic was going to my right. They were even along their front bumpers with a line of cars behind them. The cars were all on. It was the middle of the day. Their feet were on the brakes, and the cars weren't moving. And then I heard to my left, which was behind the cars, approaching the semi-truck pulling a house. There was a house-moving truck. And the house that it was pulling had been cut in 2 pieces. And both pieces of this house were on the trailer of the semi-truck. So the truck was pulling it, approaching the stopped traffic. As it got closer and closer, it started blaring on its horn because it could not put on the brakes. So the split house was approaching the stopped traffic. As it got closer, I was preparing myself for a great impact because I was expecting this semi to just mow through all of these vehicles that were stopped. As it got closer, the semi made a sharp turn to the left to go around them. But the problem was it was a curb, and beyond the curb was a sidewalk and then the front yards of houses. So the semi-truck went to the left, jumped the curb, and then started bouncing along the sidewalk and the front yards to go around the stopped traffic. So if you can picture, it's now bouncing on the front yards, across driveways, grass, driveways, grass, driveways, grass. It was very bouncy. And after it had been doing this maneuver for several hundred feet, it lost control and it started jackknifing to the right. But it started going up the yard of one of the houses and it was trying to stop, but it couldn't. It jackknifed to the right, but the rest of the load plowed right into a house. So the jackknifed semi with the split house crashed into another house. The second that impact took place with this truck smashing into the house, all 4 lanes of traffic then started moving forward. It's like they could no longer hold on to the brakes, and together, all 4 lanes of traffic started moving forward together, like the beginning of a race with 4 rows of vehicles. So the race began, all the cars and vehicles started moving at the same time. And in this, these 4 lanes of traffic were regular cars, passenger cars, taxis, buses, everything that you would expect to be on a public highway started moving forward. As it moved forward, it went to my right, and the road in front of it had pavement in front of them. And then the road ended with a T-intersection. The T-intersection could either turn to the right or to the left. If the traffic did not stop at the T, the road ended where an office building was, and along the T were commercial buildings. So as the traffic started moving forward, the vehicles were gaining speed, and when they finally got to the end and the pavement was going to run out and they either had to turn left or right, the 2 left lanes tried to turn left so that they didn't plow into the office building that was right in front of them. And they did their best, but they were already traveling about 30 to 35 miles an hour, and they tried their best to turn left, but instead plowed right into the office building that was along that road. The same thing happened to the 2 right lanes. They tried to turn right, and they weren't able to entirely make it. However, there were a few smaller cars that I don't know what they did to be able to make it, but they were able to make the turn and not be damaged. So a few made it to the right, a few. So all of this chaos was going on. I walked out into the road as all the cars had already passed me, and I was watching this chaos ensue, and then I was probably in the far third or fourth lane, so the lanes that were nearest to me, but I was standing in the street, looking down the street, and then, instantly, a bridge framework formed over me. But it wasn't really a bridge. It was more of a steel girder type of framework that appeared over the highway. The girders that held it up were on each edge of the road, along the curbs of the road on each side, and these girders held up a framework of what was a bridge under construction. It looked like it was made out of an erector set, and this erector-looking bridge was the entire length of the road in the same direction that the vehicles were. The vehicles that were trying to go left or right, this bridge network appeared over the street below. So I was looking at this bridge network, and during this vision, I remember thinking, the steelwork looks like the Eiffel Tower. It reminded me of the Eiffel Tower because the way that the framework on the Eiffel Tower is, you know how it's some of the ironwork is curved and it's actually decorative? Well, this thing looked like the Eiffel Tower somewhat. Now, it wasn't the Eiffel Tower, but it reminded me of it. So as this framework formed, I saw that the girders that would have held up the pavement had no concrete on them. It was just the girders, kind of like the floor joists that you would see in a house before you lay down the subflooring. That's what the girders looked like. On top of these girders, vehicles were balancing, and since there was no concrete or asphalt or any type of road that was finished, the cars sat on the girders. They couldn't move. And the framework then started to sway to the left and to the right. It was swaying to the far side of the road and then back to the side of the road where I was, back and forth. It was swaying, and I thought, oh man, this thing's going to collapse. I need to get out from under it. So I thought about running to the curb that was closest to me on the right, but then I thought, if the whole thing falls over toward the right, it's going to crush me and kill me. And then I wondered, well, should I run all the way across the street to the left? Maybe that's safer. And then I thought the same thing. No, but if it sways to the left and collapses, the debris may crush me in that direction also. So I concluded left or right would not save me. I had to run forward toward the T intersection to get out from under it. So that's what I did. I ran as fast as I could. And as I did, the girders above me started slowly falling through. It started happening behind me first, and then in front of me, a few of them started coming down, but they were coming down in slow motion, and I was able to run out, and I cleared it, and then the whole thing came down. And when I had made it out of the entire framework, and I was in the T area, and I stopped, and I looked back, and I saw that all the girders had come down and collapsed. So a collapse happened. When I was looking at the debris, a lady came over to me, and she was a news reporter, and I asked her, so how bad was the damage? Did anybody perish? Did people die from the collapse? And she said, yes, some women died from the collapse. So while I was pondering that, I was thinking, oh man, that's terrible. There are dead bodies under there, under all that mess. Instantly, a new dream started where I was in a dark setting. Everything around me was black except for an oak door that was in front of me. And the oak door looked like an old castle door that was pointed in the middle. And in the dark setting, I could hear children laughing. I could hear them enjoying each other and telling jokes. The voices of the children were my children. I could hear my two sons and my daughter. They were having fun. And I approached this door, and I reached out my hand and started pulling it open. It opened about a foot maybe, and then I was sucked in to that door, and it was like there was a whole other world beyond that door, and I was sucked in, and instantly I found myself in the middle of a new city. It was like I had been taken back in time into the 1930s, and on each side of this downtown area, the lanes of the road were probably, again, 3 to 4 lanes one way, and I was standing in the street looking straight up. And the buildings on my left and on my right were all made of concrete. They were all white, and they all had these boring square windows. Some were 20 stories, others were 30, 40, 50 stories. But as far as I could see along the street in front of me, and which probably would have gone 5 blocks, maybe even 6, 7, 10 blocks, but all of the buildings looked the same. They looked like the old concrete buildings from during the Great Depression. Every one of the buildings said the word Trump along the top of them, along the sides of them, the tops. Trump's name was everywhere, on both sides of the street, as far as the eye could see. It was the weirdest thing, and I remember thinking, this was required. It was like a requirement that his name was everywhere. There was not one sound that could be heard. Not one sound. It was totally silent. I could not hear cars or buses or the wind. I couldn't hear people walking about or birds singing. It was like I was deaf. I could hear no sound at all. The sounds of silence had taken over this new world of Trump. And then that dream was over. Now, I addressed and visited this vision a few programs ago with Donna, and I am still wrestling with it. I'm still in the midst of understanding it because there's a lot of information in this prophetic dream. Now, I want to say up front, ladies and gentlemen, I do not know if this proves that Trump is going to win. I think what it means is if Hillary wins, then this is the type of world that we can expect. And if Trump wins, this is the type of world that we can expect. Now, a Hillary victory will be horrible. And that's, by the way, if she can even survive, because I don't know where her health is. She seems at times to be someone that needs to be bedridden because the images are starting to come out where the Secret Service is having to help her up the stairs and help her stand up, hold her microphone. One of the Secret Service agents actually is carrying a syringe in the event that she goes into seizures. So Hillary is not doing very well. She is sick. So I don't know if she's even going to make it or what's going to come about from that. I don't know. God hasn't shown me that. But common sense is really all we need, and knowledge and wisdom about Hillary winning. I'm saying that just so that it's, again, because it seems that whenever I share my concerns about Donald Trump, people will write me and say, well, Nathan, so do you want Hillary? What's wrong with you? Don't you know he's better? Don't you know he's this, this, and this? Well, yeah, I know on paper all of that, just like you do. I've heard the speeches. I've heard the positive, reoccurring promises. I've heard them, but I've also heard from the Lord. So this prophetic dream doesn't mean that Trump is for sure going to win. And when he does, that every building is going to have his name on it at some point in the future. I believe that this prophetic vision I'm describing has illustrative, metaphoric, spiritual references in it that are not literal. So some of the images that I just described are actually representative of other things. And some of them can be spiritual and some of them can be literal. I want to take it from the beginning and I want to talk about it. And by the way, if some of you have thoughts about it, please feel free to write me, because maybe some of you have had similar glimpses. Feel free to write me and share what your thoughts are, because I always appreciate hearing from other brethren about these types of things. But at the beginning of this prophetic dream, let's take it from the beginning. I was standing on the right side of the street on the sidewalk above the curb. So I was on the right, which is expected. Most of you are on the right. I consider myself a conservative. At this point, I don't trust the Republicans. They have failed us too many times, but I still consider myself a conservative. So I was standing on the right, looking across four lanes of traffic. The traffic was stopped. The engines were running, but the people behind the steering wheels had their feet on the brake. What does this represent? We have that people right now are stopped. They're waiting with their engines running. How do we translate that into what we have in America, or even amongst the church, and possibly even in the remnant? Was this a snapshot of the entire country, or was it the Christian right? Was it the evangelicals, or was it the remnant church? Well, many times when I have prophetic images, they're used to describe the condition of the church, of God's people. So if we were to equate the people in all these different vehicles with the church or the evangelicals or those of you who are awake, you're awake because your engines are running, but a lot of the people were not moving. They were stopped. They were waiting. They didn't want to go forward because the road was going to end in front of them. They knew that they were going to have to make a choice left or right. So is it possible? And this is where I am right now, ladies and gentlemen. This is a work in progress. As I stated, we only know in part and prophesy in part. Is it possible that God's remnant right now is stopped and at a stalemate because of this election? Is it possible that this election has a lot of people not moving like they should be moving? Is it possible that this election has people in a state of suspended animation because they're waiting to see if Hillary is going to win or is Trump going to win before they make their plans? Many of you are very concerned over the coming future. You know that we're in a mess. You know that you should be getting ready. You know that the prepping's not finished. If I were to talk to most of you one by one, I'm pretty sure that there would be things on your list that you would have to admit are not finished. You're not ready. And it could be spiritual things, or maybe they're tangible things. But right now, you're not doing anything because you're waiting to see what's going to happen in this election. And if I'm noticing this and I'm pointing it out, is it possible that God wants his people to get on the ball and start moving? Because right now, a lot of people find themselves feeling like their feet have huge magnets on them and they can't move. And if they lift their legs, it's too hard. So they are taking a well-deserved break from the last-minute prepping that they have to do because they want to see if Trump's going to lose. And if he does lose, well, then they know if Hillary won, that means that this thing's going to get serious. I have to get on the ball. And some people are waiting for that. Some of you are waiting for that. Some of you have heard the Trump prophecies, and some of you are seeing the polls. It's back and forth. For a while, it seemed like Trump couldn't be stopped, and now it seems like he has been hitting some speed bumps because of gaffes that are taking place in his campaign. Some things aren't going his way, but then you have Hillary, the Hillary bounce and the Trump bounce. It's back and forth. So you find yourself at a stalemate, and you want to get ready. You want to get prepared. You know you need to be getting prepared, but instead, you find yourself distracted with the drama and the excitement and the politicizing and the wrangling and all of that energy that is on the news. If you are an awake person who is a part of this culture, chances are you're a news hound. You like to find out all the stories and you're following it and your fingers are crossed and you're trying to tell your friends. And deep, deep down inside, you know that in the future, things are going to get rough. You've heard some people claim that if Trump wins, we're going to get a reprieve. Maybe the judgment will be put on hold for 1 or 2 years. Maybe. And so in the back of your mind, you're saying, well, that would be nice if it were true. But then you find yourself stopping in your spiritual preparation with that information. You're not doing anything, my friend. So as a result, you're at a stalemate. You're stuck. You're not moving. So I have to ask, my listening friend, I have to ask, do some of these words sound true? Do you find yourself distracted so much by the election and the possibility that we may have a reprieve that you're doing nothing and your engine is running and you know you have to get moving, but you're not. And as a result, you're hoping that Trump will win and buy you some time. But with that said, let's think about this, folks. If Trump's going to win and buy some time for you to get ready, how much time will that be that he's going to buy? Let's say the best case scenario happens. Let's say those prophecies are true and I turn out to be wrong. I don't think that's the case, but let's say it is. If that does happen and Trump buys us 1 or 2 years, that's 24 months, 12 to 24 months that you will have to add to your preparation, to work on the things that you need to work on. Maybe it's the garden, maybe it's things at your house, maybe relocating, moving, winning over a family member. There are some things that you want to do to get done, and the offer of 10 to 24 extra months, you like that. So every day you go on and you look to see if you're going to get your 10 or 24 months. But watch this, folks. Right now it's August. It's the middle of August. The election is in November. So that's August, September, October, November. That's 3 months. And then whoever the winner is, if Trump wins, the inauguration will take place November, December, January. 2 months after that, which right now gives you 5 months. That's 5 months between now and the inauguration that you have. Folks, did you hear that? Between now and the inauguration is 5 months. So if you're going to get a reprieve of 1 to 2 years and you're waiting to see then if you're going to have it, what are you doing with the 5 months that you have in front of you? What are you doing with it, my friend? And in my dream, that's what I saw. People were in their cars, their feet are on the brake. They had a few blocks in front of them, but they weren't moving. And I believe that right now the church, the evangelicals, have put on the brakes. They are not moving forward spiritually. They're not getting prepared and seeking God to get placed, to get situated, and to navigate to be in the right spiritual condition or even physical condition. Folks, right now we have 5 months to be doing some things. You got 5 months. And that's in the best case scenario, 5 months. Because what if a war started between now and the inauguration? That 5 months would be interrupted. Or what if a terrorist attack occurred and we went into martial law? Or what if during the election in November, we went into martial law? That's 3 months from now. That's all you have. So one of my first admonitions to everyone listening, and I want to say this with love and encouragement, but it needs to be an admonition. My friend, please do not waste the time that's in front of you, that we have before us. Please do not waste it. It's time now to get out your notepad and to have the meeting with your loved ones and your family and your friends on the continuing efforts that must be done now. Finish gathering now while you can. Have that garage sale now while you can. If you need to liquidate some things, do it now while people still have some money before any sort of crash happens. So if you're taking notes, write that down, folks. Number one, seek God on the plan. Continue the plan. Ask God about it. Initiate it, continue it, take your foot off the brakes with your plan, with your prepping. Number one, folks, take your foot off the brakes, because behind, and this is the next portion of this image, this prophetic glimpse, we have approaching all of us from behind, a crash is coming, and it doesn't have brakes, and it's not going to stop. And that vehicle that is approaching is a large semi. In the dream, it was a semi pulling a house that was divided. Now, let's just think about that for a moment. It was two parts of the same house that was cut in half on top of the trailer of this semi, and it was approaching us. So, what did the divided house represent? Was it the divided house of the actual political framework of America? Was it a divide in the Congress, or a divide between the Senate and the Congress? Or was it a divide in the party? The Republican Party is divided. Was it that, and that's approaching us? Or was it something that could hit closer to home? Was it the divided house of civil war of some sort? In other words, the country is divided and it's coming. It's approaching. Civil war approaching. Could it be that, ladies and gentlemen? If that's what it is, it's not going to be stopped. It's going to try to go around us and go to the left, but it will arrive. And it's going to cause a panic. Whichever one it was, when it comes up behind us, its momentum is going to cause everybody's feet to come off the gas. It's going to make everyone start moving. Because when that semi bounced to the left, by the way, it's going to move to the left. So when the crash comes, it's going to move left. Does that mean that the Democrats are going to come up with some answer to the left? Does it mean that divided house is civil war toward the left? Is it a race war that's coming toward the left? I don't know. That part I do not know. But it went to the left and bounced and tried to avoid all the traffic. It tried to avoid the people, but it bounced to the left and it still crashed into the house. The divided house crashed into the house. I'm leaving that still on the table, folks. As the days move forward and more developments come, I'm pretty sure that we're going to be able to see this one with better focus, because it's just like my elephant dream that I had several years ago. Remember that dream? I was on the freeway. In the right lane, there was a crater. The road had a giant hole in it in the right lane, so I went to the left to go around it. And then elephants appeared walking next to me. They were holding on to each other's tails. They had red blankets on them. And then something spooked them. Some of them started trumpeting, and they started running. They were in single file, but they were panicked and running. And then a lot of them exited to the right. Well, that was several years ago. Now we know what that one means. They were trumpeting in a panic. Well, Donald Trump has caused the Republican Party to be in a panic, and a lot of them are exiting to the right. They're being divided. There's a big hole in the Republican Party. It's cratered. It is fractured. We see all that happening now. And in the same manner, this truck that I saw, the semi pulling a divided house, is going to crash. When it crashes, the people who are still standing still will then realize that it's time to move. So there is an approach of a crash. Now, I even wondered this one. What if the truck that was pulling a house that was cut in half represented two parts of a housing crash? And we saw the first one occur at the crash of 08. Remember that, folks? The housing real estate markets crashed. What if that was 1.0, version 1.0, the first half, and the second half is approaching with a crash? Is that what that means? And then when it comes up on the rear from behind, it's approaching us, meaning we thought it was behind us. We thought we left it. We thought we beat it. You know, a lot of those bankers, the bank bailout that took place, the TARP bailout, the too big to fail loans at $700 billion. Remember all that, folks, in 08? That's behind us. What if this vision of the truck represents that and it's coming up from behind and there's another reckoning that's going to take place? That is possible. I believe that that is very possible. And when it comes up, it's going to arrive in our rear view mirror. So it could very well mean that an economic crash is coming, which, by the way, I do expect. So when the crash comes, it's going to go to the left to try to avoid. And then all the people will scatter and panic. And even the remnant or Christians or whoever are represented on the one-way street with their feet on the brakes are going to take off and say, whoa, I should get moving. It's time to move. So at that point, when this thing happens, it's going to wake you up. It's going to wake me up that, whoa, it's time for us to check on the inventory of our contingencies and our countermeasures and our in-betweens and our before and afters and in our bug outs and our rucksack, all that. When that event comes, when the crash comes, it's going to be a wake-up call. And people will start fleeing forward. And that's what happened next. People went forward. Those who were in the left lanes tried to go left, and then in the right, same thing. But they started panicking too much, and they started going too fast to the point where those who turned left crashed into the office building that was in the way because they couldn't make the turn. They tried to make the turn, but they crashed into the office building. Same thing with those trying to go to the right. So if that represents that when this thing gets going, the fleeing public, some of them are going to crash. So does that mean that now we have commercial real estate involved? I'm laying that on the table. I don't know. I'm not sure. But that could be one of the possibilities. So as the people went to the left, they crashed. And then to the right, a few made it. A few in the smaller vehicles were able to make it because they could control themselves. So maybe the people with portfolios that don't have a lot, you know, the old adage, the heavier they are, the harder. Well, those who do not have a financial burden or credit burden as large as others will not feel the impact as much, and they'll be able to make it and turn to the right, possibly. Which, by the way, side note, ladies and gentlemen, if it's possible for you to do some financial maneuvering now, perhaps get creative with your debt, whatever measures that you can, find some wise counsel, but try to do something now, preparing, because the next phase is coming, folks. It's coming, of a financial crash, and it's going to involve real estate of different categories. Now, since we're talking about this vision, we have potentially residential real estate and commercial real estate. So those two things appeared. After the traffic was able to leave the highway, then the infrastructure appeared over the road. It was an infrastructure that looked like a bridge made out of steel girders. It kind of reminded me of the Eiffel Tower. It was not complete. The concrete was missing from the pillars and from the pavement. So it was infrastructure that was halfway built, and then it started swaying left and right. So what does that mean? Does it represent the financial infrastructure of the country? Since the framework reminded me of the Eiffel Tower, I was wondering if it's possible that that also showed that it should include the European Central Bank, because France was represented in the framework. So does that mean that the framework that exists right now for the EU is going to continue to sway left and right? And we have already watched the EU go through some troubles. In fact, lately it hasn't been on the news because the election has been taking all of the opportunities for news stories. But the problems that we saw in the EU has not gone away. The Brexit event that took place has not healed everything. And by the way, we could do a whole program on the Brexit, because there's some people that say that Brexit was the little people fighting back and resisting the New World Order. And this is a side note. I disagree with that. I believe that the Brexit was allowed to happen, and it was supposed to happen, and the framers of the New World Order wanted it to happen. Because, you know, folks, how often are the little people thrown a bone and made to believe that it was a victory for them when really it wasn't? The elite and the globalists behind the New World Order have Satan behind them. They have evil craftiness that has been around for thousands of years, fueling their plan to fulfill Bible prophecy, to bring about the one world government. The framework that I saw that looked like the beginning of a bridge was under construction, but it was unfinished. So what does it mean? Here are the possibilities. As I stated, it could mean the central banks of Europe and America, Federal Reserve, and the framework of the Federal Reserve. What is the framework? What does the framework consist of? Because whatever it is started to sway, if that's what it meant. It's going to start swaying to the left or the right. One thing that's interesting about the condition of this object was that it was unfinished. So here's another possibility. And this is why I have thrown out that it may be possible that we may have a false recovery if Trump happens to win. What I mean by that is, at first, it will appear that things are working. And the perception from the public and the perception from Wall Street and the banks and the bondholders are that, let's give it a chance. Let's see if it can work. Look at the projects that he's doing. And by the way, side note, Donald Trump has stated that he wants to build and fix the infrastructure of the United States. He wants to fix it. He wants to fix the roads and the bridges. He wants to turn it into a works program, just like we saw during the Great Depression. If that is the case, at first, it might appear to be a hopeful remedy to solve some of the unemployment problems of America. It could help people get involved in a huge nationwide works program to get people off their couches and making some money, which could help the economy at first. Of course, that type of remedy means a lot of debt. But initially, people aren't going to be worried about that. They're just going to be thinking of the remedy, solving problems, and it's a good thing. It's turning the economy around. So if the infrastructure that I saw in my vision represents that program, then that means that program is going to get off the ground if Trump wins. It may look positive at first. It will mean people have jobs. It'll mean the government's buying steel. It'll fire up the steel plants and the factories to provide the resources, the supplies. It'll fire up the factories, the earth-moving equipment, Caterpillar. It will do some things that will help at first, and it will appear to be one of the remedies that's going to turn everything around. But in this vision I had, now folks, remember this. If we find ourselves 1 year from now watching a works program that seems to be successful, remember this. I'm going to have it on record. I'm going to have it as a YouTube. It's going to be in print form because I want people to have reference to look back. We may see the beginning of the infrastructure program at first have an appearance, but then before it has a chance to finish. In my prophetic dream, there was no concrete, no pavement. The vehicles could not successfully use this infrastructure. They were just sitting on the girders. So if we watch and observe and witness a works program for some type of highway idea that Trump comes up with, if he so wins, if this is what it means, I expect it to start, but then not finish. Now, what is the reason that it will not finish? What is the timeline? Does this give us a timeline? Does it give us a timeline of maybe a year, year and a half, but then it'll start swaying? Here's the other question. The approaching semi with the split house, when it approached and then all the traffic panicked and then the infrastructure appeared and started swaying, do those events all happen at the same time? Does it all happen together 1 year into some kind of road building program of Donald Trump? Is that a future thing 1 year from now or a year and a half? And I'm saying one or one and a half as an example. I don't know how long it would be, but will it all happen together? And since the erector set looked like the Eiffel Tower, how is Europe involved? Those parts, I don't know. I don't know. In the days ahead, as developments appear, this may be able to come into focus. I'm throwing out several possibilities because I do not know. But I do know this, folks. This was a prophetic vision, glimpse from God. I have no doubt that it was, because the reoccurring left-right illustration happens over and over in this glimpse. I was on the right side when it started. The cars were stopped. The semi approached from the rear and it went to the left as it crashed. It jackknifed to the right, but it still crashed into the left. The vehicles are started moving. Some went left, some went right. There it is again. So the left and right is over and over. And then the infrastructure framework appeared and it started swaying left and right. There it is again, left and right. So there is a very profound message in this. So as it swayed to the left and the right, I didn't want to stay under it because I knew if I stayed under it, I was going to die because a collapse was coming. The collapse would have killed me. I also knew this. The right was not going to save me and the left was not going to save me. None of those positions would have been safe. So when this collapse comes, when the time for this comes, the Democrats nor the Republicans are going to be able to stop the impact. Nothing will be able to stop it. It's going to happen. So I ran forward, meaning those who want to survive need to go forward with their plans. You need to go forward, my friend, with your plans, with what God has been sharing with you and leading you to do. Go forward. That's the only way. It also means this, folks. Forward also represents moving to the goal that's before you, pressing on. Your remedy must be God. It must be forward, which discounts a political remedy of going to the left or the right. Politics are not going to save us from this. Politics will not rescue you. Politics are not going to rescue this country with the collapse that's coming. That's the other thing that God's people must get ingrained into them. Unfortunately, a lot of them are acting like politics are going to stop and save, and we see this mess. We see that confusion, but it's not going to work, folks. So as the infrastructure swayed to the left and the right, I ran forward, and then the collapsing started. The girders came down. So while we are pressing on forward, the collapse is going to come, folks. And those who do not escape in time will be caught under the collapse. They will be crushed under the collapse. I heard the woman tell me some died in the collapse. Some ladies died. Now, in the timeline of a Trump presidency, does that mean it's going to collapse before he gets into office? What's the timeline? Could it happen this fall? Could it happen in the next few months? Or will it happen beyond that? Well, there's a possible hint that it could happen into maybe the first few months or first year of the presidency, because if the infrastructure represented a works program of a highway building project for Donald Trump, then there needs to be enough time for the building to start before it falls. So the program needs to get going and it needs to be funded, and there has to actually be bridges that are halfway built around the country. Does that mean that some bridges and highways need to be halfway built before that crash happens? That's something to think about. Now, after all of that collapse occurred, I then found myself in a new dream. The dream changed and I was in a setting of complete darkness. I don't know where it was, but I heard people laughing. I heard joking and merriment. I heard my children laughing. What does that mean? I believe that it means that even in the midst of great darkness, no matter how dark it gets around you, my friend, around you where you live, in your life, it is still possible for you to find the joy of the Lord. You can find peace no matter how dark it gets. Yes, the darkness makes it hard to see. And yes, the darkness is scary and can appear fearful. But Jesus promised that if we get a hold of the light of his word, and he said that if we have lamps and if we put oil in them, we'll be able to see. We'll be able to see our path and navigate to be able to obey the cry when the groom cries out and says, the marriage has come. It's time for the wedding. We can have the light of God, and you can have that, my friend. In the midst of darkness, we can see a great light because Jesus is the light. The light of God is available to bring not just the vision to your path, but folks, I heard laughter from my kids. That represents the children of God, the children, you, You're a child of God. I am a child of God. God can still bring peace and joy. Therefore, with joy will I draw water from the well of God. You can have joy while you draw water. You don't have to be depressed. You don't have to be defeated. You don't have to be oppressed, walking in darkness. I'm bringing that up because that's going to segue perfectly into what the Holy Spirit said about the planting of the Lord. And I'm going to cover that in a moment. But I heard merriment and joy in the darkness. Remember that, folks. So the next part had the door in front of me. There was a door, an oak door. It looked like a door from a castle, a medieval looking. And I reached in front of me to open it. I don't know why I wanted to open it, but I did. So my hand reached and took a hold of the latch and pulled. Maybe 12 inches. It didn't open all the way. But that was enough because it was like a giant suction. Like a vacuum cleaner was on the other side of that door. And there was an airflow that sucked me through the door to the other side. And then I found myself in Trump land. Everything said Trump. Now, let's talk about this. Let's break this down. Interesting, folks. I was sucked into Trump land. How many people today, presently, right now, are displaying, and I don't mean this in a insulting manner or a derogatory manner, but how many are behaving as if they got sucked into Trump world, to Trump land, and they're in it? So is it possible it represents the fervor that we are watching take place in this Trump phenomenon? Is it possible, folks? You know, we could spend some time dissecting the psychological makeup of Trump fever, because I'm pretty sure it could be itemized and determined, and we could probably find that there are other historical comparisons to what we're witnessing now that could explain how it's taking place and why. But just real quick, I believe that the energy behind the Trump phenomenon involves the spiritual as well as the physical, and also the psychological. There is a spiritual thing taking place, there is an intellectual thing taking place, and there's also a soulish thing taking place. Now, is it all being steered purposely? Is it happening on its own? Is it an accident? Does the Trump campaign actually have the steering wheels of this thing and the rudder? Are they able to control it? Does he know what he's doing? Is he kind of going by instinct that he can't explain, which would then give credence that it's a spiritual thing? Or is he crafty? Is it being accomplished because he's following a model that is very scientific? What do you think, folks? I know at first glance, there have been claims that the reason that it exists in the first place is because God has an Elijah mantle on Donald Trump. So it's all God that's making it take place. And the purpose is because the end result is going to be a return to America's greatness. In other words, it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit that is making it happen. And I don't want to digress with that, because that could be several programs. It could be several programs to study it and examine it. But in order for it to be done wisely, and in order for it to be done successfully, the information needs to include, and the evidence needs to include history, what we can find in history. We have to include human nature. We have to include the tendencies of people and the moods of population and what happens to populations when they experience certain things in their cycles of existence, you know, from prosperity to sluggishness, to complacency, to war, to chaos. We would have to include all of that information, and we'll do that perhaps in the future. I myself have several opinions about it, and at this point, if I were to share them all, they would be immature because they're not entirely ready, they're not complete. But I don't think we can just throw out one blanket statement. It's the Elijah anointing, because I don't believe that, folks. I do not believe it. And I think I can prove it too, but that's not what this program's for. Anyway, I was sucked in to a new world, and the appearance was a throwback to the 1930s or 40s. The buildings were all the same looking, as I stated earlier. Why was that? What does that represent? Well, I believe that it showed the future political temperament is that everything is unified, orderly. You know, there's a lot you can read into that. In Soviet Russia, in communism, they built buildings not for the flair of the decor. They did it out of necessity. Remember the row houses that communism had? You know, you can see that even today in the projects of the ghetto. They're just boxes with windows on them. In the future Orwellian world, individuality and beauty will not be one of the primary goals of society. And this world that I saw showed buildings that were all the same. And then the name Trump was along the tops of all these buildings with silence. Let's visit that for a moment. As I stated earlier, at this point, I don't know who's going to win. But if we had a Hillary victory, I will say this, folks. I don't need to have a prophetic dream of a Hillary presidency to prove to me that it would be a bad thing. You do not need to hear about a prophetic glimpse of what a Hillary presidency will look like. We know what it will look like. But as far as Donald Trump, why is it that some evangelical Christians cannot understand the Orwellian possibility with the Trump administration? In my vision, I saw an Orwellian tyrannical future. And if we were to equate that with reality, we often see that with dictatorships. Their name is everywhere. They believe that they are the voice of the people. They are the people. The country belongs to them. In my prophetic dream, I saw Trump's name everywhere. So is that a snapshot of the future of America? Are we going to find ourselves living under the tyrannical rule of a future Trump dynasty? Is that possible, ladies and gentlemen? In his attempt to make America great, whether it's well-intentioned at first, whether the motivations are innocent at first, will they become corrupt somehow? Will something go awry in his motivation? I know I'm asking a lot of questions, but folks, I saw this future. So what does that mean for you? What does it mean for me? I know that at first appearance, for those of you that maybe you're not familiar with some of these concerns, maybe your friend told you to listen to this program and you're hearing it, and it's throbbing your brain. It's throbbing your cognitive dissonance, which means it's messing with your thinking because you've never considered this and it's almost painful to listen to. You can't believe it. Is that how you find yourself? You know, hearing opposing information for the first time is always difficult at first. And folks, I am not saying these things so that individuals can listen and hear and get upset and then write me and say, Nathan, you're crazy. What in the world are you thinking? There's no way this could happen. It's impossible. No way. You're a loon. I'm sharing this information, folks, because I know what time it is. And when you look at the big picture, the big image of America, when we look at the future of America, and then we look at the even bigger picture of the completion of the timeline, the end times, the return of Jesus. If we're in the end times, eventually we're going to get there. And if we move backwards from there, we're going to see the tribulation period, if we believe in the end times. And by the way, I do, and most of you do. So if we believe that we're in the end times, and then the tribulation period is going to take place in our future, that will include a one world government, which is a worldwide tyrannical rule of some clever guy or several clever guys, because it says 10 kings will submit to the little horn. So there's going to be several rulers, but the end times will be a dictatorship. So if we are approaching that time period, then it is entirely possible, biblically, that whether it is Trump or Hillary or somebody else, they're going to play a role in the rise of the beast. Now, when the beast rises up, the end time one world government rises up with a little horn, it's going to rise up because chaos occurred before. Doesn't tell us what the chaos was, but it just said it rose up from the sea, one world government, the mark of the beast. So at that point, we're going to have a financial system that is united worldwide, meaning the financial world got rebooted. Some chaotic event occurred before the beast rose up to allow it to be a financial system with the mark, buying and selling. So if we move backwards from that, what is the financial emergency that takes place? Before the beast rises up, folks, the collapse has to happen. Think about that. A financial collapse. If we place it into our time, our environment, that would mean the Federal Reserve, the dollar system, is going to collapse. Let's throw in the EU, the European Central Bank. Their form of currency is going to collapse. Currency will fail at some point. There will be a collapse. After that happens, there will be a reboot of currencies. Now, there's been a lot of speculation, and those of you that are students of this, this is what you do. You listen and you've heard all the different possibilities, terms, the Amero, the basket of currencies. It's going to be a Chinese yuan. It's going to be a combination of several. It's going to be backed by gold. There's a lot of possibilities, but whatever it is, first, there must be a collapse. We have been expecting the collapse for several years now. The big one. The Olympic ceremony 4 years ago showed us the phoenix rising from the ashes. That has to happen still. So if Donald Trump comes in to rule in America, there are some people that are saying he's going to come, bring greatness, a relief, everything's going to be fine. And thereby, if that does happen, that means that there will not be a collapse. The New World Order is put on hold. Bible prophecy is put on hold. The rebooting of the dollar gets put on hold. The European Central Bank, the euro that has been struggling, that is barely hanging on right now, will be put on hold and it won't collapse. The derivative markets from Deutsche Bank that are barely hanging on, barely, are going to be put on hold, and somehow they're just going to get a white knuckle, kung fu, G.I. Joe grip, and it won't collapse during the four-year presidential administration of Donald Trump. So the derivative market that is barely hanging on right now, is that true, folks? Can we really see that? Can we expect that all of those tipping points that are barely hanging on are somehow going to just find the super glue to continue hanging on for another 4 years so that Trump can be great and make America great? Is that possible? Or how about the other possibility that I'm proposing here? What if, and we could do a whole program on this, folks, and as I stated earlier, I've done several hundred hours of research, and I have found the sound bites. I have the quotes. I have the conversations between Trump and other people, politicians, bankers, Wall Street people, CFR people, reporters, journalists. I have the conversations and the quotes that have shown and revealed and hinted that Trump is being brought in to reboot the money system of America and the world. He is being brought in. He has been groomed to be brought in because he is an expert at demolition, and he knows how to rebuild. He knows how to default. He knows how to negotiate bankruptcy. He has been brought in for those purposes. The reports are out there. This is on record. Trump is on record talking about defaulting the U.S. dollar. He is on record discussing his plan for partitioning the resources of America to pay off those that hold the debt on the dollar. Trump is on record talking about it. Paying off China, making deals in the event of the collapse of the dollar, defaulting the dollar, discounting the dollar, making a new form of currency. Trump has talked about it. You're not hearing this on regular news. Fox News doesn't talk about this. Neither does CNN or any of them. Neither does Trump. But he's talked about it. He has talked about giving resources of America in exchange for debt. Did you know this? And meanwhile, while the Christians are rah-rahing that greatness is coming, and the evangelicals are meeting and assembling and getting excited for what, I don't know why, they have no idea that a masquerade ball is taking place. I have seen the reports, ladies and gentlemen. What is before us is not what reality is. This election is one of the most successful productions I have ever witnessed. The actors are completing their roles to perfection. Now, to go into all of that has to be another program, but I am sharing these things with you. This is why I am the Lone Ranger up here by myself, unwilling to bend at the theater, because I've seen the truth, folks. I also know the scriptures, I know the Bible, I know what time it is, and I know what God showed me. So that's why I have to share it with you. Now, I'm running out of time, but I'm going to start a series on how to prepare spiritually. Most of you know how to do this, but it's going to address an area of Christianity and an area of our walk with God in a way that I have never presented before, and I think it's going to be a beautiful, beautiful thing to help many of you that may be struggling or who want to have a better idea of what the Christian walk is about. I'm going to present this, and I fully believe it's going to help you. It's going to bless you, and it's going to help a lot of you that have been discouraged. Ladies and gentlemen, the planting of the Lord is what God wants to see you become. The planting of the Lord occurs because finally his people decide that they want to assemble themselves next to his water and stay put and allow him to manicure us and purge us and take care of us. Becoming a planting of the Lord means that we park ourselves in his garden. You know, to be a plant of the Lord that grows up to be a tree doesn't wander, does it? A tree doesn't change his mind and say, I don't like being in this garden. I'm going to go somewhere else. A tree doesn't do that. That's what God wants you to be, the planting of the Lord, a tree of righteousness. And I believe that many of you are going to get there. Right now, there may be confusion. Right now, some of you may be going through trials, purging, confusion, misgivings, perhaps oppressive thoughts are attacking you. Perhaps sadness has been enveloping you. Perhaps you've been fighting off the shadows and you feel like you're alone. You feel like God has abandoned you. No, my friend. These things are happening to, number one, show us that it's dark and to show us that a lamp is important, and also to show us that when we compare the contrast of trying to do it on our own versus allowing God to water us and to feed and to encourage and to touch, there's no choice. And sometimes God has to do that. He has to allow the darkness to come so that we will want his light. When it's dark, there's only one place to go, folks, toward the light. And that's what God provides for all of us. And the planting of the Lord is what he wants for you. In Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion." You see, folks, this is a snapshot of the end times. This is a snapshot of some of the struggles that God's children will be going through in the end times. But this is what he wants to do with his Spirit, to comfort all who mourn and console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called, here it is, folks, here it is, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, the planting of the Lord, that's what I want you to talk about. I, at the time, did not remember where that verse was found, the planting of the Lord, but I found it right here in Isaiah 61. And the context of the planting of the Lord and becoming a tree for him is in the context of endurance during darkness and the time of sorrows. Because the time of sorrows will include things that cause mourning, events that will bring mourning, events that will cause sadness and heartache when the unexpected arrives. Folks, during the time of sorrows, there will be a lot of folks who get their turn, who were not expecting their turn to come. Some of you are going through your turn right now. It arrived. It showed up. It knocked on the door, and you didn't want to open it, but it came. It arrived in a phone call or a letter or a text message, and you didn't want it, but it came. And when it did, it brought heaviness. It brought mourning. It brought ashes. It brought sadness. And then some of you asked God, why? Why, God? And while I can't give a clear answer of why, I do know this. I do know this, my friend. There is a time and a season for everything, for everybody. And eventually, everybody gets a turn. Our numbers brought up. And eventually the court of heaven decides that it will be your turn and my turn. And when that happens, we have to be able to rely on and call out on and depend on and tap into the Spirit of the Lord God to comfort you, to console you as you mourn. And even when we see the ashes of heartache around us, before us, upon us, the Spirit of the Lord somehow is able to take those ashes and help us to experience beauty, exchanges it for beauty. How can that happen? How can beauty come from a fire? I don't know, but God can do it. God removes the dross from the silver through the fire. The oil of joy for mourning. Ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Spirit has oil, the oil of gladness. Jesus has the oil of gladness, and he wants to share it with you, no matter what you're going through. And because of it, the oil of joy, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And when it is your turn and my turn, when it's our turn, with these things that are coming, ladies and gentlemen, let's put it together now. The timeline of events that are coming are going to be challenging. I don't know the exact arrival of them, but I do know this. They are coming. And if right now we can become empowered and situated for these things and get a hold of the truth, get a hold of the tools that God has available for us before they get here, remnant people of God, if we can get a hold of those things, then we will become a force when those days arrive of ministry. You will be able to be used in ministry, not just as someone surviving, not just as someone pleading, not just as someone who's barely making it, but as a tree of righteousness, a tree, my friend, the planting of the Lord, a tree. God wants to see you as a tree, not as a little shoot coming out of the ground, not as a tiny little sprout. Now, right now you may feel that way, and perhaps you are for some of you. Maybe you are new in the faith. Maybe you've just returned to the faith. Maybe you've been away from him and you're coming back and you're tired of the failures that you've had in the past and you want to go beyond that and you want to move forward. My friend, this is what we're talking about. God wants to see you move forward. He wants to see you become a tree with roots that go deep beyond the basics of the foundations of repentance. For those of you that are struggling with things where you keep coming back to the foundation of repentance, to the beginnings, God wants to see you go beyond that, to get victory beyond that. And some of you have been discouraged because you don't see how. My friend, there is a way. And we're going to talk about it. We're going to visit it. And God is going to set many of you free and encourage you by the power of his Holy Spirit. He's going to equip you with these things. God said, tell them about the planting of the Lord. And we're going to do that, folks. We are going to dig into this thing. We're going to become trees of righteousness. You as a remnant follower of God, as a remnant believer, are going to become a tree. A tree is powerful. A tree is strong. A tree may sway in the wind, but it still stays. A tree is able to give ground cover to others and protect others. It's able to survive storms. A tree with good roots. That's my prayer for you, my friend. So I want to thank you for listening to this message. And if some of you are struggling, I want to just encourage you to go to this passage and become familiar with it. Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1, 2, and 3. Get familiar with it, because in our next program, we're going to start digging very deep. And you're going to get victory, my friend. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this message. And God, I know that I shared a lot of information. I shared some disturbing things. But God, I pray that every person listening will be able to take these matters to you, and God, show them, bear witness with them, God, on what time it is, to not be listening to deceptions out there, but God, let us be able to find truth in you through your Holy Spirit. And for those who are confused, show them the direction to go. Show them your light. Bear witness in their hearts. Open their eyes that they may see things that before they didn't see, that they may have understanding to things that they did not understand before. And God, for those that are struggling, for those that are hurting, comfort them, God. Give them strength and renewal and hope in you by the power of your Spirit. And I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, folks, I want to thank you for listening to this program. Share it with your friends. Share it with your family members. And if you appreciate what we're doing, we appreciate your support. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website, watchmanscry.com, and contact us there. Well, folks, God bless you. Stay safe, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.